Welcome to Christ's Blessing. On May 29th, 2016, it's a beautiful day here near the coast of Texas, and I hope it's a beautiful day wherever you are, at the very least in your heart and in your life, in some part of your life. And I hope that you know that the Spirit of God is with you. We are here as a community to join with one another in a spirit of love and support. We're here to join with the presence of Jesus Christ, whom we know by his original name, Yeshua. And we welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit and call it forth into our presence in all that we speak about, all that we talk about today, and all the blessings that are given. So, we are now in a Q&A mode, and I would love to hear from our community. Just the way you get on is press star 6 and then 1. And I see Jerome is on the call. Hi, Jerome.
Hello there, Glenda. Glad and love and peace and joy for you. I've got a couple people that need some help, and one is my son, Paul, and his wife, Amber, and another friend is Jim, who has an infection in his foot. He's on antibiotics for a month now, but he's slowly getting better. But thank you for everything of Jesus' light and love, and I just am so grateful that you're there.
Oh, I am so grateful to be here. What an opportunity it is to just, it just thrills me to come on this call every Sunday. And just love hearing from my friends and new acquaintances, new people that are showing up just by the calling of Christ. So, Jerome, blessings to you and your loved ones, and I've got them on my list.
Thank you.
And I see Suzanne is on the call. Hi, Suzanne.
Hi, Glenda. This is Suzanne. I have requested before for my friend Jamie, who had cancer, and she passed on Friday night.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
Yeah, thank you. So just requesting prayers for the family.
Absolutely. And for her happiness.
Yeah.
For her release of suffering that preceded her ascension to a higher ground.
Yes. Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Suzanne. And we have Mary Smith on the call. Hi, Mary.
Hi, Glenda. Hi, everybody. You know, I first want to say, oh, my gosh, it's just even in our times of joy and sorrow, it's just amazing to connect with everybody on this call, and Suzanne, you're in my heart, and everybody who calls in, it's just an added blessing to be connected to all of you. I wanted to share some, it's kind of a puppy update, I don't know, sometimes I don't know if I'm just a slow learner or if I should just be grateful for paying attention to lessons, but I did learn some really valuable lessons this week, and I had called in last week because I had gotten a little puppy who was perfect in every way for my little mom, who I adore, who was grieving the loss of her dog, and I just can't tell you the lessons I learned from this puppy. Actually, she was totally perfect. She loved to jump and play and nibble on everything. And she just was not good for my elderly mother. And so we had to make the decision to take her back to a wonderful shelter who's going to find her a new home. But in the process of that decision, I realized that I was trying to help my mom not to be sad. And I said to her, Mom, you know, let me know if this is too much for you. And she said, honey, sometimes I think we just have to give ourselves permission to be sad. And so I was actually trying to fix something that wasn't broken, and it was, sometimes I think we try to bypass these steps in life that are actually part of our healing, and it was just a tremendous lesson. I learned the same thing about looking for a new job. Sometimes we have to honor and grieve where we've been and what our past has been in order for new blessings to pour in, because the new blessings can't really occupy an already filled space. So it was just a tremendous blessing, and I know that little baby is going to find her new home because she's perfect, and we just learned some lessons, and I thought I would share, because I think that's how the blessing works. If our space is full and we're asking God to give us the grace for new blessings, then sometimes it's okay to honor the work we still have to do.
Oh, Mary, that is such a great realization. It's just wonderful, and it actually connects with one of the most important things I wanted to share today that was part of my today's message. You and I are so connected in spirit. I think we probably are prayer sisters, and we get together secretly. Secretly before the blessing starts.
Well, I thank you, and thank you because you've taught me, you know, sometimes life unfolds, and really sometimes I think, oh my gosh, I'm a slow learner, but I think I feel so grateful to realize blessings as they unfold, and that it's all okay, and that it's okay to honor where we are, you know, just right where we are. Uh-oh, my dog's going to bark, so I'm going to mute myself, but I love you all. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Mary, so much for sharing with us and for setting up a very important part of the message that I wanted to offer today. I'm just going to go through our board and make sure there's no one else on the line that wants to ask for a blessing or make a heartfelt comment that's relevant. Okay. It looks like we've got a clear board, so I'm just going to proceed with the things I have to say. I have some really important things to say today, and this was not going to be the first thing, but because of what Mary said, I want to connect with that and strengthen into exactly what she was talking about. I have a very good friend who's in a foreign country and unable to talk, so we share emails and we share messages, and I try to keep up my friend's hope because there's been so much suffering. And the suffering is really unexplainable. It's not justifiable by this person's life or deeds or consequences of life. And so much of it is, I've learned so much from my friend. And last week, I was really trying to do a big cheer up note, like trying to cheer up, trying to bring some good news through to a message, some words of hope. And he saw how much I was struggling. And he said, Glenda, you're struggling more than I am. What you need to do is just realize that it's okay to be sad, when sadness is really the appropriate thing to be. He said, what you are trying to cure is if I were sad and there was no reason for it. He said, you and I both know there are a lot of people in the world that suffer unnecessarily. They have pain or they have a loss, and then they just carry on the suffering like it was some crown of glory to just continue suffering. And it's probably because people came to their aid and assistance and helped them. Maybe they got attention. And he said, you know, that's not me. I'm really genuinely sad right now, and it feels good because it feels like the right emotion to have. And I thought, how amazing that is. And then in a later conversation, a texting type conversation, I was thinking about the lives of the saints. And I was thinking how unjustifiable their suffering was. And yet so many of them suffered, and they suffered bitterly. And I wondered about it. And I thought, why? Why, God, do you let good people suffer? And all of a sudden, it just came to me like a burst of light. And it connected the dots on much of what I have been asked to go through in the last 6 months. And here's what it is. Once upon a time, no one had ever run a 4-minute mile. And then it happened. Within a year, many, many people were running, all men. There's a lung capacity and a stride capacity apparently men have that I don't think a woman has achieved that yet. But many, many, many were doing that. What happened? Were they taught how to do it? No. It wasn't about being taught. It was about someone breaking through the barrier of resistance on a particular challenge and then allowing us to see that we exist in a form bigger than that boundary. You see, that leads to my most important topic I'm going to talk about today, but this is extremely important for those of you, for so many of you who suffer, and you can't figure out why. It's not something you deserve. It's not a consequence of what you did. It's not even something you electively said, okay, God, let me suffer on behalf of other people. It didn't happen that way either. It used to make me so upset back in my studio art years when my whole life was revolved around painting. And people would say, well, you know, you just haven't suffered enough. You have to suffer more to produce great art. And I thought, that is one big piece of garbage. Really, I always hated to hear that. And actually, I don't think you have to suffer in order to be great. What I think happens is that great people are often asked to suffer because they can redefine the boundary of what's possible for the rest of us. Let me say that again. Sometimes great people are asked to suffer because you can break through the boundary of what we think of as our smallness. We think of as our vulnerability. We think of as our intolerance or our mortality. This is no less what Yeshua did for us all through his life. And through his death and resurrection, he showed us more of what we were capable of. And it seems like always at the boundary of our life, the boundary of what we can tolerate, there's pain. I don't know why. Well, yes, I think I do. I think I do. And let me explain it this way. If you did not have a physical sense for heat, you would touch a hot stove, and even though it wouldn't be painful, the tissue on your finger or whatever part of your hand or arm or whatever touched the stove, the tissue would suffer damage. So that pain is actually a protective mechanism to tell you, don't go there. And I am sure that we have built up pain barriers in every dimension of our life, where we're uncertain we could survive. So anytime we get close to that place, the pain kicks in and we back off. Unfortunately, the pain can become such a problem that it makes, for example, if we have an illness, it makes the illness worse because the pain absorbs so much of our potential healing and potential faith. If we have a relationship problem, the pain of moving to the edge of where we thought it could go could cause us to build in more drama that causes more hurt that is then more likely to damage the relationship. So pain becomes a problem, yes. And that's why God calls upon those who are stronger to pass through the wall of pain and then exist on the other side of it. Every time anyone has penetrated that wall of pain, the pain becomes less for everybody. And the possibility of other people approaching the wall of pain and dismissing the pain while handling the problem increases. And I realized that all the effort I had spent for so long trying to help my friend survive a terrible ordeal turned back around to help me survive a terrible ordeal I had been going through for 6 months. And what I have been going through was for me a wall of pain of pushing the definition of who I am out further, of encountering situations in life that I was not familiar with before, that I didn't think I could confront or be part of, that would sometimes bring me to tears, and sometimes the tears would make the problem worse because the tears would make me feel sorry for myself or that God had abandoned me or that something was just deeply wrong and life wouldn't work. I had to learn about this cycle of pain, and we build it in to the outer boundary of our life. But then it's very real when it kicks in because it means business. Its job is to protect us. Just like when we get close to a flame, we're going to feel the pain of burning, so we'll move our hand away. And if we try to move through it with drama, we will get burned. Now, my husband and a number of friends of his in the days gone by when firewalking was a way of teaching people about faith. He would teach people about how to dismiss that wall of pain pertaining to the pain you would feel in your feet walking over red-hot burning coals and not feel a thing and also not get burned. You see, that's the key. It's not good if you don't feel anything, but you do get burned. That's really bad. What you want is to get through the wall of pain in a sense that you take hold of your greater dimension so that you become larger than the boundary definition. I hope you see the essential thing that I'm talking about there. And if you didn't catch on yet, I'm going to go to my next topic, which is all about our soul and our soul's relationship to our body. This is something that we're going to focus on with great depth in our webinar that will start next weekend, next Sunday. It's called the Rejuvenation of our bodies through the light of our soul. But it's not just the light in our soul. It's that when we see the light in our soul, what it shows us is that our soul is worlds bigger than our body. And I don't mean just bigger in outer diameter. I mean bigger in tolerance, bigger in awareness, bigger in insight, remembrance, experience, and faith. Our soul is just bigger in every way. A soul is not something you have. The soul is the totality of who you are. And we are ancient beings who really carry with us an enormous potential for life. And we don't bring most of what we have available into any particular incarnation. We don't bring it all in. We bring in what we think we will need for that life and what we think we can focus on the adventure of that life. Now, sometimes the adventure of that life gets to be a little harder, a little bigger, and a little more challenging than we expected. And all we need to do is reaccess the treasure house of all that we are in the larger sphere, the larger dimension of all that we are, and bring it in. But unfortunately, we forget how to do that because we identify with our physical life, and especially our ego identifies with our physical life. And when I say ego, I'm not referring to the vainglorious, conceited self-importance that we can imbue our lives with. That's not what I'm referring to as the ego. The ego is actually the center around which you revolve your activities. It's the center. Ego means center. That's all it, when Freud brought out that term, that's what he was referring to, is the center, the hub, the axle around which you build all the thoughts about yourself, all the activities you have, all the things you do, the friends you have, the relevances you build for your life. And that center is built into your physical person. Because you came into this world to have a physical life, to learn, to have new experiences, and to expand as a person, to connect with other people. So you identify with that, and you think that's all you've got, and that's all you are. Well, it's so far from not all you are. But you lock down the gateway to the greater access, to get the greater supply of what you can offer. And I'm not even talking about right here. I'm not even talking about Yeshua. I'm not even talking about the Holy Spirit or God the Almighty or your angels or your saintly guides. I'm not even talking about what they could offer. I'm talking about what you can offer yourself on the larger spectrum of all that you are. You just have to know how to reaccess it. And this is what we're going to do in our webinar. But what I want to tell you today is, first of all, you don't just live inside your personal life. You live inside the lives of everyone you've ever touched. You live inside the lives of those you pray for and you hope for. You live inside the lives of your family. You live inside the lives of your friends. You live inside the nature and the world around you. And I want this little piece of our conversation right now to reference something that Yeshua talked about in Love Without End, where he was referring to what made for true ownership. We were talking about I brought up the subject about how I could buy things and still not feel that I owned them. But on the other hand, I could go to my favorite place in the park where I would often sit and feed the squirrels and the birds and just experience the seasons of nature. And I felt like I had a lease on that property. And everybody that walked through was walking through my living room. Now, of course, that was public property. And I loved to share it with everyone who went through. But I owned my little space there. It was really part of me. And that's why I went back to that space to write most of Love Without End. When the weather permitted, I would be there on that park bench writing. And you can see what that place looks like if you want to go to our website, inspiredorigination.com, and go to my paintings. It's the one called The Heart's Garden. I made that painting to commemorate the days I spent writing Love Without End and the love I have of that place. But there were other places I've owned that I was totally ready to sell as soon as they appreciated in value, because I never felt like I owned them. I felt like I must have created this for somebody else. We can feel this about anything, my friends. Ownership and buying something are not the same thing. There are times I bought a dress because the sales clerk would tell me, oh, you look so good in it. It's so becoming. And I take it home and I look at it in my own space and I think, why did I ever buy that? I will never feel right inside this dress. And if I haven't taken the tags off or if I haven't worn it anywhere, I'll take it back. But it's a silly thing to realize that we can actually buy things and not own them. And we can go to public places and own them. There are songs that I listen to created by my favorite recording artist. And it's like I own that song. I don't have the copyright to that song, but it's in my heart. And the person who created it and sang it and performed it, gave it to me. And that person lives in me. And I live in that person. So I want you to think about the people and the situations that you live in. I want you to think about your bigger life. Because your bigger life is not just you in the small person. If your name is Susie or James or Robert or Danielle or Mary, doesn't matter what your name is. You are everybody you love. You are everything you love. And you can access these by calling upon your love and also by giving to your love. When you give to your love, it's just like what Mary was saying. If you want to draw out from something, you've got to give in to something. If you want to draw out from something you love, give in to something you love. It's a flow, a never-ending flow of life. And you'll find out how big you are. I think this is really the greatest miracle of charity, is that you expand the definition of who you are. You expand the potential of how you can receive back in your life. Because you realize that in giving, you've become the thing you give to. And this is why Yeshua said, you've wasted the gift if you don't give with love. But if you give with love, you become the most important person at that moment for what you're giving to. You are the most important person. You make such a difference in your gift. And every time you give to someone you love, every time you give into a worthy opportunity to love or serve, you have expanded the definition of who you are. and you have expanded your importance in the world. And do you have any idea how much more capability that brings to you, ability it brings to you, significance, and wherewithal for life improvement compared to the very, very small person we make out of ourselves when we sit on our pity pot and when we bring our sorrows in that we don't have to bring in? Like my friend said, sometimes it's an honor to cry because it's the right thing to do. Yeshua cried when his friend died. He was angry when it was right to be angry, but he didn't hold on to that anger. Any emotion can be appropriate at the right time when the situation calls for it. But don't allow these, especially negative emotions, but not even positive ones, to define you as the smaller person that you can be. Sometimes it's appropriate. And then, as fast as you can, become the biggest person you can be. In becoming the biggest person you can be, you will have the answers, the wherewithal, and the breath of life to bring amazing improvements to your life, amazing hope and joy and faith and more well-being to everything. So with that, I want to take you into our blessing for this day. And I would ask that you be seated. The blessing givers who will join me, please stand with me now. I will offer my prayer and gratitude to Yeshua. When I'm complete, then those receiving the blessing will pray in your own way, however you would like to pray, for about 3 minutes until it's done. And I will let you know. Then go and rest after that and think of nothing. Nothing. Do not allow any of the surrounding issues of your life to influence what you're taking in from your blessing. So let us all begin. Beloved Son of God, Brother of Man, we are here in our deepest gratitude that most of all, you have invited us to be part of you. How much bigger can you make us than that? That you have told us what you have done, we too can do. That you redefined our life for us. You took us out of our small self. You gave us a new definition of who we are. You restored our relationship to God. You filled us with the Holy Spirit and gave us the wherewithal to access the amazing love and creation of our Father's kingdom. We ask from within our heart now, from within the kingdom of heaven within us, that you open the gates of receiving and bring into our lives all new love and fresh energy and the breath of healing and well-being to those who are here and to their friends for whom they've prayed and to friends of friends, knowing that we all touch each other so that whomever we touch will be touched and whomever that they touch will be touched. Until everyone is touched and the earth is touched and the heavens are touched with your glory and your love, and that we know that we are part of it all. Amen. Amen. Your blessing is complete. Now go and rest and receive all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Bye-bye for now. And just know God loves you, and so do I.